Yesterday we began this third discourse section, the parable discourse. And the parable was the famous parable of the sower who went out to sow his seed, and some fell here and some fell there. Immediately after that, and before the explanation, Matthew puts in this teaching of Jesus about the role of the parables. And it's hard for us to grasp in a way, isn't it? But there's something in here that it's a real call to intimacy. Why are you speaking in parables, you see? To you see, is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The incarnation, the resurrection, the Eucharist, the role of Mary, the role of the church. These are given to you to understand. But to them, it has not been granted. Now, there is a mystery here. The parable explains it. I mean, the little proverb. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. And from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, what's implied here is the role of our will in the act of knowing. You see, we have modeled ourselves in our world today on the machine. We look on ourselves as sort of animated machines. The most degrading part of that has to do with our sexuality. But it's everywhere. We're machines. It's unconscious that the model we have of who we are is a machine. And so we look on knowing as being like, you know, we're highly sophisticated computers. We're not. Thank God we're not, you know. The whole computer system's down in the whole neighborhood. I wouldn't like that to happen to us, you know. You see, knowing, first place, you know, they've tried to get computers to think. To calculate, they're great. Faster than we are, more accurate than we are when they work. But think, they can't think. And you know why they can't think? I mean, the most obvious reason? They have no bodies. We think with our whole being, including our bodies, and our wills and our desires. And so there's a mystery here about whether we follow the beckoning of the Lord so that he can bring us to a place of understanding, or whether we don't. It's very profound. Now, the Lord can sort of overwhelm anybody with a revelation. I remember one of those big Jesus rallies we used to have, and out there in Yankee Stadium, I think. One of those big stadiums in New York. And a guy went to keep his wife company. He was not the least bit interested. And she agreed then to sit up in the very back row. So in this huge stadium, they're in the very back row. And she's praying away, and he's looking around, you know. Well, I mean, I'm not going to have my wife in this crowd without me here. But, I mean, bored, looking around. All of a sudden, the Lord touched his heart. Out of nowhere. And it was a total, powerful conversion. The Lord can do that anytime he wants. But he also elicits, and the more mature we get, the more he wants, our will, our love, our obedience. And so you see, the one who's yielding will learn more. And the one who's not yielding, even what he thinks he's got, he's going to lose. You see? So why do I speak in parables? To give them all a chance. If I were to stand here, Jesus says, and say, I'm the incarnate Son of God, I have come to die in an act of love to save the whole human race from eternal death. Who'd listen? Who'd get it? All I'm doing now is trying to preach who my father is, and they're already trying to kill me. I talk in parables so that people will have to go out of themselves and learn. To make an effort. To open up your will. See, one of the great keys in St. Matthew's Gospel is this notion of understand. This very parable, we're going to get the explanation tomorrow, probably. For Matthew, there's a key word in there. Stuff that falls on the path, they don't understand. Satan can come and take it away. Whereas those who yield great fruit are those who understand. So what does understand mean? It means have a conversion. Understand for us means, you know, get that computer thing straight, you know, no, that's not understand. That's the lowest function of the human mind. Understand means be touched by reality and rejoice in it. That's understand. We don't even do it anymore a lot, my friends. We do it, but we don't recognize that we do it, so we don't exploit it. And that's all due to our dear friend, Immanuel Kant, who just said the mind can never really touch the reality. And so we do practical stuff. That's all we can do. Well, it's created. You know, look at the world we got. We got all this great stuff that just broke down last night or yesterday. But, you know, when it works, it's okay. But that's the least function of the mind. That's the one that'll make you rich. But it's the one that can send you to hell. Unless you think. And so you see, the parable is an invitation to think, to desire, and then that's already the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have to yield to it. It says here, seeing and they won't see. We have this English phrase, right? He just shut his eyes to it. You see, seeing is a human function. So is hearing. If you're walking in the mall and a friend goes by you, the light rays bounce off their body and go into your eyes and you see them. But you can walk right by them and not really see them, right? You have to register. So somebody says, how come you didn't say hello? Oh, I didn't see you. Well, now, mechanically, you did see. But humanly, you didn't see. Because you didn't let it register in your consciousness. Now, sometimes that's just because our mind's a million miles away. But it can be because we don't want to see. I've had enough reality. I don't want any more. I don't want any more conversion. I've had enough. Pretty soon, even the little we have will be taken away. So you see how this applies to us. And then the Lord says, but blessed are your eyes because they see. Now let me give you more. For those who have, more will be given. Including eternal life. But you got to work at it. We're not computers. Push a button and here comes internet or whatever. No. There's always the role of the will in the act of knowing. Always. And if we don't want to pay attention, we don't get it. On the other hand, you see, if we let the Lord create a thirst in us, a hunger in us for God, then what happens? We start to tell the Lord, Lord, I'll trade you any sin I've got if I can just know you better. And that's the key to the parable. If we're not willing to get rid of sin, we're not going to get it. It's that simple. Now, you could be in, you know, 65 different sins and make the greatest light bulb that ever happened. But you can't be in sin and know God. And that's the key to this parable. So when he says, blessed are your eyes because they see, he's not saying, you people are very smart. He's saying, blessed, that is, my Father has given you the grace to see. Now don't squander it. Build on it. You got it? So why do I talk in parables? To entice them. Because in their present state, they refuse me. They won't listen. Doesn't he do that to us? We're willing to listen up to the point where it means serious conversion. Then all of a sudden we're busy. We turn on the radio. So he entices us. And for those who come every day to hear the word, this is the enticement, right? Every day, call us, entice us. Give up your sin and come to me. I'm the only one in the universe who can make you really happy forever. I'm the only one. So come to me.